Morning, we are going to focus our attention on Perek Chaf, which is the Perek which deals with the sin that causes Moshe not to be allowed to enter the land of Israel. But let's start in the beginning before we jump to the sin itself. In Pasuk Aleph, the Torah records, Vayavo'u v'nei Yisrael kol ha'idam midbar tzin, b'chodesh harishon, the entire congregation comes to the desert of Tzin in the first month, v'yeshev ha'am be'kadesh, the nation settles in Kadesh, Vatamas Sham Miriam. Miriam dies there, Vatikaver Sham, and she is buried there as well. Just an important piece of information to keep in mind. Rabbeinu Bachai, as well as many other of the other Meforshim, point out that when the Torah tells us that the nation of Israel comes to Midbar Tzin, it's actually telling us something profound. As Rabbeinu Bachai tells us in source number 2, Kol ha'ida midbar tzin. What does that mean? The entire congregation, eida shleima, shekvar mesu dor hamidbar. We have essentially jumped 38 plus years from the end of Parshas Korach to the second parak in Parshas Chukas. Now we have the entire nation arriving to midbar tzin. But again, what we mean by entire nation, we mean the nation which is going to enter the land of Israel. Eida shleima shekvar mesu dor hamidbar. Viata with an I means now. Ba'u habanim el eretz kenan v'chodesh harishon v'shnas ha'arbayim haya. Again, we're in the 40th year, the first month of the 40th year.
That's Nisan.
Correct. Vida she'im batora klal shema'asa o shum nevuah. Rak b'shana rishona u'b'shnas ha'arba'im. Rabbeinu Bachai tells us something very interesting. The Torah only records incidents which were noteworthy enough to be recorded, and prophecies that were noteworthy enough to be recorded. And there was nothing that met that criteria that took place in those middle years. We only got the first year. It doesn't literally mean the first year, because we know the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar is the second year, but it means the first period of time, the first and second year, and then again in the 40th year. But everything in between was not consequential enough to be included in the Torah. Yes?
You never thought she was saying why Moses was punished, we don't know for what.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
We will talk about Aram. Why Miriam did not make it into the land of Israel is an interesting question, but there's more to be said. But we're not going to be focusing on Miriam's death. We're not going to be focusing on why Miriam died. We'll talk a little bit more about the repercussions of Miriam's death in a moment or two. And Aaron will talk about it at the end of this year, Bezrat Hashem. Yes?
I just have a question, unless I either forgot or I don't understand here. How could it be that there was any important happenings in between? We are learning that they can encounter all kinds of enemies in the way.
Correct, but not during those.
And they had wars with them.
Not during the 38 years, apparently. Those wars took place in the last year,
no,
or in the first year, but nothing of consequence, or consequence enough to be recorded in the Torah, very good, took place in those 38 years. So I just bring out Rabbeinu Bachaya there as an important piece of information, that now we have switched hats. Up to now we've been dealing with Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim, the generation that left Egypt, and now we are at a place where we're focusing on the Dor Nichnas La'aretz, the generation that is entering into the land of Israel. And the Torah records that immediately after Miriam passes away, that there is strife in the camp because they lack water. In source number 3, Velohaya Mayim La'ida, there was no water for the congregation. Vayikahalu al Moshe v'al Aaron. So they gathered on Moshe and Aaron. Vayirev ha'ami Moshe. They start quarreling with Moshe. Vayomru le'mor. V'lu gavanu b'gava achenu lefnei Hashem. Would it be that we passed away like our brethren passed away in front of God? V'lama hevi'osam el eshakal Hashem el hamidbar hazeh lamusham anachnu v'ireinu. Why did you schlep us all through the desert just to die here with our flock? V'lama ha'elis Why did you bring us up from Mitzrayim to this place, this terrible place, Lo Makom Zera, Uteina Begefen Berimon, Umay Mein Lishtos. It's not a place for planting, for figs, for vines, for pomegranates, and there's no water. We're in an arid desert. The well is dried up. Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron mipnei hakal el pesach ol ha-moed vayapluah pneihem vayayir kvod Hashem eloha. So Moshe and Aaron essentially fall on their faces, and I imagine they are very, very disappointed because this is a new generation. I always think to myself when I read these psukim.
It sounds like the old generation.
Exactly. So I think, I always reflect to myself when I read these psukim how the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That I imagine that the door, Yotze Mitzrayim, was fetching like this for all 38 years. They were just going back and forth and never making real progress, and they were constantly fetching. So if the parents are constantly fetching, who also is going to fetch? The children. And it's the exact same language that unfortunately we've seen earlier in the Torah in the previous generation. But Baruch Hashem, we will also see how the nation is able... Listen, we will see though with Hashem, we will see that with Hashem self, the people are able to rise to the occasion as the Torah progresses on in its recording of the events. And ultimately the people do show courage and fortitude and excitement to enter the land of Israel, but we'll have to wait for later parshiot to see that inside. So let's try to understand why they suddenly lack water. Now everybody knows why they lack water. It's a famous Rashi. In source number 4, the Torah records, V'olohaya mayim la'ida mikan shekol arbaim shana hayalahem habe'er b'zichus Miriam. That for the 40 years that they were in the desert, they had a well. There was always water, but it was in the merit of Miriam. And once Miriam passes away, they are left without their water. And that's very troubling for them. And the Malbim makes an interesting observation. It's source number 5. Really, what was the core of the Jewish people's complaint that they no longer have Miriam and the well? So the Malbim tells us in source 5, V'ohayu mayim la'ida, ki hamayim hayu bezichus Miriam. The water initially was there in the merit of Miriam. This water was a providential water. Only came in the merit of Miriam and her talents and the unique personality that she was. So in that zechus, everyone received water. So what were the people so upset about? Look what the Malbim writes. Very sharp. They came to Moshe and Aaron to put forth an argument. They said, what are we, chopped liver? We understand that Miriam had an important role, and it's in her merit that we received the water. But that's it? We have no zechuyos on our own to merit the miraculous well? So they were upset. Hashem, we understand Miriam's role, but we're nothing? And that's what they were complaining about. Just one other source, and I'll stop for questions. And the Cheskuni seems to make a comment that substantiates and reinforces the veracity of their argument. The Cheskuni points out in source 6, Lo laku achshav kimo shalaku bishar tulunos. They did not get punished as they had in previous cases where they quarreled. Ki hadin imahem, because they made a good point. They didn't have water. They said, Hashem, what are we, chopped liver? We don't have any zuchuyos. We deserve the water as well. And they don't get punished. In fact, Hashem just turns to Moshe and Aaron and says, you know, hit the rock or talk to the rock. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And the water was going to come. So up to now, we've actually read nothing wrong, or we've seen no perspective that sheds a negative light on the Jewish people's actions so far. Yes.
This Chutam is ambiguous because you can't understand it. They are mad at Moshe and Aaron because Moshe and Aaron don't have enough kishalom.
I mean, I wanted to ask the same thing. Yes.
No, that's why they're mad at them.
Uh-huh.
It could be.
I think they did something wrong.
Right.
Fair point? No. It is ambiguous. I understand what you're saying. But if you read the Malbim like you're suggesting, it's a nice read. They were coming to point the finger at Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron, why aren't you guys bringing us enough merit? Very good. I think that flows even better according to your approach. Very good. Very good. But you see from the Cheskuni that they had some substance to what they were saying, and therefore Hashem says, okay, let me help provide water. I saw somewhere, I will see in the Bravanel, that maybe Hashem wants this pause, and He wants to give them a time when there is no water to appreciate the unique role that Miriam had, but ultimately they were quote unquote entitled to ask for water, and that's why it comes pretty freely.
The story is also enforcing the second understanding of the...
Yeah? Why?
The second understanding of the other.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because God, they didn't want it for themselves. They said, you apparently weren't good enough.
Where do you see on the Cheskuni though?
No, the Cheskuni reinforces why God...
I understand.
God not mad at them.
Fine, but the Cheskuni works with either way you read the Malbim. Although again, I think, Dr. Spear, your way of reading the Malbim is more accurate, that people were telling Moshe and Aaron, why aren't you worthy enough to bring about the miracle of the water?
And I just like to add, the mere fact that later God told them what to do about hitting or talking to the stone,
right,
it's really putting Moshe and Aaron on the spot.
Correct.
Because
good.
This is...
We'll see that. Very good. We'll see that. But up to now, we have seen nothing particularly negative. No judgment on the Mefarshim saying Bnei Yisrael did something wrong. Abravanel, though, moves our attention into the more negative critical space, and it's so spot on in my opinion. Look at what the Abravanel writes in source number 7. V'niroim divrei Rabboseinu shehem emes, believe safek, that the rabbi's words are truthful. Shebimei Miriam ubizuchusa haya holich am Yisrael baderech pela be'er mayim chayim. That as long as Miriam was around, in her merit we had this miraculous well. Ki b'chol makom shehayu chonim haya noveya be'er mayim chayim al das hapela. It was something miraculous. Now, v'kasher meisa hatzadekes hazos pasak habe'er. When she passed away, the water dried up. V'diber hakasov beginusam shel Yisrael. And the Torah is actually speaking quite critically of the Jewish people. Ready for this? Shebimakov shahaya lahem lavo lanod lemoshe vilaharon vilanachamam v'misas achosa hanivya. In the place where the people should have been gathering around Moshe and Aaron to comfort them, to do nicham avelim, nikalu aleihem lerivin mahem. They instead gathered to quarrel with Moshe. V'lo l'nachamam. And not to comfort them. V'zeshe kasuv v'yikalu ha-Moshe v'yal Aaron v'yarev ha-ami Moshe. That Bravanel says the Torah is being quite critical of the Am Yisrael. We forget Moshe and Aaron are human beings. They lost their beloved sister. How come there's no one is coming to comfort them? They're only coming to quarrel with them. And the Torah is being critical of Am Yisrael for not treating Moshe and Aaron with the respect that they deserve and giving them words of comfort. Now there is one word in the Bravanel that's throwing me off. I'd be happy to hear anyone's suggestions. The word lanod, right after the bolded words, v'diber kasid v'ignusam shel Yisrael, shebimakrum shayir lahem lavod lanod lemoshe v'le'aron. Lanod means to wander. I don't exactly know what that Bravanel means. Contextually, I understand it. The point is that they didn't comfort them.
It's like wishy-washy. Like wishy-washy. It's almost like lindot, but it's going from one maybe opinion to another, or behavior to another, something.
Maybe. It doesn't fit perfectly. What? Yeah, I thought maybe it's a typo, but you don't see too many typos in Bar Ilan. I don't know. Putting it out there, that's the question. But I think the criticism is spot on, right? Says the Ravina, why weren't Am Yisrael coming to comfort Moshe and Aaron? But instead they were coming to quarrel. How quickly they lost focus on what should have been the priority. The Kli Yakar also. deepens the criticism in source number 8. V'lohaya mayim la'eda atzar ha'onesh chasru ha'mayim. The mayim, the water dried up as a punishment to Am Yisrael. Lefishalo hispiduha karaoi. What's a hesped? A eulogy. The people did not eulogize Miriam as should have been. Because when it comes to the death of Moses and Aaron, the Torah tells us clearly, Vayibchu osam b'nei Israel, that the Jewish people cried, they mourned the loss. V'kan lo ne'emar vayibchu osam. Here it doesn't say that they cried over her. V'ne'emar, what does the Torah tell us? V'tamas sham, v'tikaver sham. She died there, they buried her there. Ki b'makom shemesa sham te'kiburasa. Where La Alter, where she died, one second, let's just finish this paragraph, where she died, that's where she was buried. V'nishkecha, kemes milev, v'lo hir gishu beha'adara klal. She died, they buried her, and they didn't appreciate the absence that was created. Akein nechzru lahem hamayim. So I apologize. I thought it was the Ravnel. Now I see it's the Kliyakar. That's why the water dries up. Kedesh yideu lemafreya shaveir haya bezechus Miriam. That they should realize retroactively that this well is coming in the merit of Miriam, which, by the way, is an intriguing point. That for the 40 years that they had the well, they didn't appreciate that it was in the merit of Miriam. And Hashem had to have the well dry up for them to appreciate. So some people are not fully appreciated in their lifetime. People understood that Miriam was the Nevi'ah. She led the charge of the ladies during Kriyas Yamsov. She was the one that led the song. But maybe her role wasn't fully appreciated. To the extent that she passed away, they buried her, fine, but they didn't really mourn her. And Hashem had to remove the well for them to really appreciate what was lost. Okay, yes?
Just a minute. The Torah does not tell us either that Moshe and Aaron mourned her. And that should have been said first. They should have said the example. Mm-hmm. Why do we know about that?
Interesting. Maybe that was so self-evident. I mean, the Torah doesn't tell us that Moshe mourned his brother. So, the Torah doesn't record every piece of information.
So it's more about the people.
Your point is well taken. However, I would add again, the Torah doesn't add every piece of information, certainly when it's self-evident. Actually, we'll see that a little bit later on and the point that Ramban makes about hitting the rock. But I would say, Helga, that the criticism is coming because we do see the Torah records that they mourn vayimchu, that they mourn the loss of Aaron. They mourn the loss of Moshe. So since the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that they're mourning the loss of Moshe and Aaron, and that's absent from Moshe, that's where the Kliyakar is coming from.
Okay.
Yes, Dr. Spira, then.
Because they were waiting for Miriam when she was at the you saw that the whole community.
Fine.
They just took it as a given that the Torah just didn't tell us about it.
Okay.
On the other hand,
but it tells us about it by Moshe and Aaron.
At the time, it was the parents who knew Miriam and her part and the Yitzhak.
Right.
Very good. Don't know, so.
Also, I would add that when the people did wait for Miriam to come back into the camp after she got the tzaras, did everybody know that that's why they waited? It wasn't unusual for them to wait in a campsite for a long amount of time. The Torah might be recording and telling us what the people might not have known. I don't know.
Yes. Because they were not allowed to travel without
the Anan. Right, exactly. So the Torah tells us that the Anan waited for Miriam. But was everyone aware of that information? I don't know. Yes.
And because I don't know the Midrash so well. If the water always came in the schut for the schut of Miriam, what happened the other times we didn't have water? Why didn't that time she have the schut?
It's a good question. I mean, the water came pretty quickly. You're saying earlier on by Mara. Why wasn't the well already there? I don't know. I'm not sure. Yes, Hani, you had something to add.
I was
talking about the same thing, but they just jumped ahead of me.
Okay, to stay there. So I want to show you one other piece of information. Dr. Spear brings us actually to your point earlier about Mara that you just mentioned right now. The Kleikar is a very interesting observation that we only see this word meriva, to fight, with Moshe. So why is it that the only two places where the Torah uses the word that means to quarrel comes up in the context of water? Very interesting. So if you look at the last line on the first page, Vayarev Ha'ami Moshe, Bechol HaTlunos, right? We certainly don't lack other examples where the people are quarreling and arguing. So Bechol HaTlunos Lo Matzinu Lasho Meriva, Ki Im Al Esek Mayim Shtei Panim. We only see the concept of fighting when it comes to, or the word rather, that means to fight, when it comes to instances that they're quarreling over water. Uvimasa umeriva, the location that was known as Masa Meriva, so I apologize, that the two times the word reev, to argue, is used, it's used in the context of water, because water is the item that introduced machlokas into the world. Lefishemin hamayim nivra hamachlokas. Kimo shamru chazal mipnei malo ne'emar ki tov b'sheni. Why is it that the word tov is missing in the second day of creation? Lefishebo nivra hamachlokas. That's the day when argument was introduced into the world. Shene'emar vayihi mavdil b'mayim l'mayim. Because we know that Hashem had to separate the waters below and the waters above. And the waters below said, hey Hashem, I'm not so happy to stay behind. I want to be closer to you. So that was really the first instance of machlokas in the world. That's why kitov is not mentioned. But that's why forevermore, for eternity, water is very closely associated with machlokas. Umefurash beKabbalah, the pasuk in Mishlei is understood on a Kabbalistic level. Poter ma'im reishis nadon, which means like the first of the waters introduce quarreling. Reference back on a Kabbalistic level to the second day of creation. Mashenifteru v'nivdelu ha'mayim zemizeh, the fact that waters had to be separated. Reishis nadon v'aschalas lechol meriva. That was really the first instance and introduced into the world the concept of machlokas. V'chein merivas ro'a Yitzchak al ados hamayim. We see that Yitzchak argues with his shepherds. The shepherds of the Plishtim regarding water. Ki chol zeh nimshach b'teva mimayim harishonim. Water is forever associated with arguments, because that was when the first argument took place. V'ravu im Moshe. And interesting, he takes it one step further. Now they argue with Moshe, Shenim Shamin Hamayim, who was drawn from the water, right? Kimin Hamayim Ishisihu, V'yado Moshe Lav Hamayim. Moshe's hands rule over the water, B'yamsuf, Uvitsur. We see earlier, Moshe was able to draw water from a rock, and was also able to split the sea. And they thought, listen, Moshe, you rule over the water. V'lama lo yotzi lanu mitzor hachala mishkamata. So why can't you bring forth water now as well? The last point of the Kliyakar is moving away from the essence of Machlokas, just helping us understand the psyche of the people. The people understood that Moshe ruled over the water. He was drawn from the water. He orchestrated Kriyas Yamsif with Hashem's help. He hit the rock once earlier in Sefer Shemos, and there was water. So why can you bring forth water now? But again, I include the Kliyakar because I was very, very intrigued by his idea here about the association between water and machlokas. Yes?
I have a problem with saying that the water represents machlokas. Rather, when you say the water represents, you can have a good relationship or a bad relationship.
Okay.
So, Moshe had a good relationship with the water.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't rule over the water. Hashem ruled over the water. But he had a good relationship.
Good.
The people, on the other hand, when they complained for the water,
mm-hmm.
they weren't complaining about the water. They complained about everything. There mm-hmm. wasn't anything that they didn't complain about.
Right.
So they saw, because for me, doesn't water also represent Torah?
Correct.
So water is the symbol for Torah.
Right, interesting. Maybe there's a lot more to be said about that.
Yeah.
Right? Very, very fair point. Shivim Panim LaTorah. Something can symbolize a number of different items. So water can symbolize machlokas. It can symbolize Torah. It symbolizes life.
Is it machlokas? Or is it the way we see it?
Your point is well taken. The Kli Yakar clearly focuses our attention on the machlokas element. But it doesn't mean that's the only way of viewing the role of water.
I see water as very peaceful.
Sure, sure. And I see that as well. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And it's stormy.
This is the new generation, so correct. This is their first argument.
Seemingly so, yes. Yeah, we started with the Rabbi Bachai. You weren't here at the time. When the Torah says, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'ida, Rabbi Bachai and other Mefarshim say that this is the new generation, the generation that's going to ultimately enter into the land of Israel. Yes?
We are blaming b'nei Yisrael all the time, which is right, but to be very thirsty in hot desert and having flocks,
I didn't say
thirsty, so, they are justified.
So that's what the Cheskuni points out, that they are justified. They are justified, but the question is, Dr. Spira, why? Why did Hashem choose to make them suffer a little bit, to feel the pain of the thirst? So, on some level, maybe it was to help them appreciate the uniqueness of Miriam. On another level, maybe it's because they didn't eulogize her correctly. There are different perspectives. Maybe they didn't spend the time to comfort Moshe and Aaron. So many different perspectives on the issue. So now, let's see. Yes, Han.
I just have a question, because, and I have to go back maybe. Why would, how did they arrive to the conclusion that the Meribah was set up on the second day of creation? When that separated between Rakia and Rakia,
right,
it wasn't supposed to be a Meribah, because here wasn't the creation of the world.
Nanibal don't intend to.
Why would we suspect that God created
Right.
Hashem created.
Your point is well taken. And the Bible, you can even say, water can't speak. How can there be speech? But the point is, on some level, on a midrashic level, this is the first incident of machlokas. If you look back on day number two, first of all the Mefarshim note that Kitov is missing. Why is Kitov missing? So then they have to connect the dots. They have to add conversation that we don't see in the text. And that's why they concluded that the lower waters felt bad and started quarreling with Hashem. It's a midrash. It's not literal. But there's a lesson to be learned from the fact that Kitov is not there, and that the water below felt slighted that it was not asked to join the water above. Let's now read on in the parak. We've seen what prompted Hashem to speak to Moshe and Aaron and tell them to take the staff. And let's read about the tragic, or was it, mistake that Moshe and Aaron did. And source number 9, the Torah tells us, Vayidabra Hashem and Moshe Lemor. This is the very next pasuk. We've read the first 6 psukim, now we're going to read another 6 psukim. So Hashem turns to Moshe and says, Kachas hamata, take that staff, v'hakehel es ha'ida atabron achicha, gather together the congregation, you and your brother Aaron. V'dibartem ela sela nehem. Speak to the rock. V'nasan neima v'otzeis lehem mayim in asela. V'shkisa es hayda v'es v'irab. You will make the water flow from the rock, and you will be able to provide water for the congregation and their flock. V'yikach Moshe es hamatem lefnei Hashem kasher tzivo. Moshe takes that staff from before God, as was commanded. If you remember, last year we learned the Cheskuni that tells us that which staff did they take? It was the staff from last week's parsha. The staff that Aaron placed in front of the Mishkan that sprouted forth the flowers and the almonds. It's that staff that Moshe went. Remember, the role of that staff was to quiet any quarreling. Lived os lived merry. So Moshe takes that staff to remind them, hey guys, we're not arguing anymore. Now it was 38 years ago that this happened. So they needed a reminder. So that is the staff that Moshe takes. But we discussed that last year. Vayikalu Moshe v'Aaron es kol ha'edah al panei ha'sela. They gather everyone together facing the rock. Vayomer lahem, and Moshe said, Shimuna ha'morim, listen, rebellious ones. Hamin ha'sela hazeh noti lechamayim. From this rock will we be able to bring forth water. Vayare Moshe es yado. Vayachas ha'sela b'mateo pamayim. Moshe hits the rock twice. Vayitzu mayim rabim vatesh haida uviram. Much water comes out, and they're able to provide water for themselves and for their flocks. Vayomer Hashem Moshe be'al Aaron, yan lo emantem bilakti sheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael, because you did not sanctify me in the eyes of the Jewish people, lachein lo saviu es hakahal hazeh el aretz asher nasati lahem. You will not be entering the promised land. And the Mefarshim go to town trying to understand what did Moshe and Aaron do wrong. And in last year's shiur, we looked at length at the Kli Yakar, we looked at Rashi and the Ramban. Everyone has a different take on the issue. We're going to summarize Rashi and Ramban very quickly, and then we're going to look at the Abravanel, who has a very creative approach. Rashi in source 10 tells us, Lahakdisheni. God says, you missed the opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. She'ilu dibartem el ha'sela. V'hotzi, had you spoken to the rock, as I supposedly asked you to do, hayisi mikudash le'nei ha'ida. I would have been sanctified in the eyes of the people. V'omrim, ma'sela zera she'enu midaber ve'enu shomea ve'enu tzorech leparnasa mekaye diburosha makom. People would have been able to learn a powerful lesson. Just like the rock, which does not speak and does not hear and doesn't require panasa, does what God says. Kal v'chomer anu. For us, stakes are much higher. We rely on Hashem for our panasa, for our life. How much more so must we listen to the word of God? That's Rashi. Ramban comes down hard on Rashi. And he says in source number 11, this is just a couple of short excerpts from the Ramban. He says, what do you mean? Of course Moshe was supposed to use his staff to hit the rock. Again, according to Rashi, the main issue was that Moshe should have spoken, created a Kiddush Hashem, and he erred by hitting. And Ramban says, if God told Moshe to take the staff, of course it was meant for Moshe to hit the rock. Why else will God have told Moshe to take the staff? And we see by Mitzrayim, Hashem tells Moshe, take the staff. He doesn't explicitly say to hit, but of course Moshe uses the staff to hit, because why else would God tell him to take the staff? In source number 11, V'chein b'makos Mitzrayim sha'amar v'hamata asher ne'apach l'nachash tikach biyadecha. God tells Moses to take the staff. V'hula akosfo. Of course it was for Moshe to hit the ground with the staff. Ki akosav yikatser b'dava hanishma. The Torah is short when it comes to things which are obvious. So God didn't need to explicitly tell Moses, hit the rock. It was self-understood when God told Moshe to take the staff. Now, parenthetically, one could respond that maybe the staff had a different role. If you understand like Becheskuni, that it was the staff that Aaron had placed in front of the Mishkan 38 years ago as a sign that no one should quarrel with Moshe and Aaron, so then maybe there was value to taking the staff separate from hitting the rock. But we're not going into that. The Ramban again jumps on Rashi, says, hey, what's going on here? If Moshe was told to take the staff, obviously it was with intent to hit. There's no greater miracle if water comes after hitting versus after speaking. Rocks don't give forth water. Right, again, what was Rashi's point? Moshe, you missed an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. Says Ramban, would there be any less of a Kiddush Hashem had Moshe, as he did, hit the rock? If the whole point is for the people to learn a lesson, the rock is listening to Hashem, so we should too as well. Isn't that point equally as valid if Moshe hits as opposed to speaking? Lastly, Hashem says, Moshe, you rebelled against me. What rebellion is there? Maybe it was a misstep, but where was the rebellion? Rebellion implies a certain degree of negligence, of deliberate sin. This was a mistake, okay, but deliberate sin. But Hashem tells Moshe, Ma'altenbi, you rebelled against me, it was deliberate. So we have to find a stronger area to focus our attentions on, because at best, the miscommunication between speaking and hitting can't be the cause of Moshe's tragic fall. The Rambam has a different take that the Ramban quotes. That the Rambam, I'll just tell you out, the Rambam basically says Moshe got mad. When Moshe said, Shimunaha Morim, listen, oh you rebellious ones. That was Moshe displaying anger. And the people now learned from Moshe, it's okay to be angry. And that was the tragic mistake. They hung on Moshe's words like a little child hangs to the leg of his mother. And if Moshe displayed anger, the people learned that it's okay to be angry. That was a tragic mistake. And that's why Moshe was given such a severe punishment. Ultimately, the Ramban rejects that as well from a number of different perspectives. And the Ramban himself offers the following answer based on Rabbeinu Chananah. If you look in the third paragraph of source 11, the Hakarov min haDevarim Shenemru Bazeh. Ramban says, I think the most logical answer, who I told Litchos HaShoel, it's good enough to basically send back the one who's asking the question semi-satisfied. If someone's going to ask, what did Moshe do wrong? If you give him the following answer, he'll be semi-satisfied. Came divrei Rabbeinu Chananah, shekasav kechetu amram, the sin lies with the fact that Moshe said, hamin hasela hazeh notzi lachemayim. What's notzi? Can we, talk Moshe and Aaron, can we bring forth water? The ro'oy sheyomru yotzi Hashem. What should have Moshe and Aaron said? Can God bring forth water? But they placed the emphasis on themselves. Can we bring forth water? That seemed to give the impression to Am Yisrael that Moshe and Aaron were the source of the bracha. They're the ones who are coming up with these miracles. And that caused a tragic mistake, because that reinforced an erroneous belief that they had many years earlier that Moshe was the cause of the miracles. Moshe was the real leader, the real God. And that reinforced the terrible misconception from many decades ago, and that's why Moshe and Aaron were not allowed to enter the Promised Land. That was a quick recap of the different takes of the Mefarshim that we saw last year. Again, Rashi, was a missed opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. Had you spoken, everyone would have learned a profound lesson. Ramban rejects that. Ramban rejects Rambam, that it was a function of Moshe getting angry, and ultimately says that the language that Moshe and Aaron used was tragically wrong, because they placed the emphasis on themselves. Can we bring forth water? When they really should have put the emphasis on Hashem. Yes.
Then it makes Spanish a problem, because then he's questioning,
yeah,
if water will not come, then he's putting the blame on God.
Uh-huh,
interesting. Then it will be even worse.
But Hashem already said water is going to come. They knew water was going to come. They knew water was going to come. Hashem said,
take the pot. If Hashem knew it would come, he would not feed. Then he would know what needs to be done.
So something went wrong, Chana. We're trying to figure out what went wrong.
Because he was angry and frustrated.
Well, is that a reason not to enter the land of Israel? Dr. Spira.
The Hakrishani, the Rashi says, is much better for the Notzi instead of Ledaber on the Alcor.
Why do you say that?
Because when he said Notzi, he didn't make English.
Interesting. Nice point.
But another thing, like Abba Amar say, Moshe was mad. Moshe just lost his sister. God should have understood that Moshe just lost his sister.
You know what? When it comes to that, and we'll see this inside the Ravina, when it comes to the tzaddikim, people on a very high level, God has exacting standards. And one misstep that for you and I would have been nothing can cause catastrophic repercussions in the Beis Din Shamala. Because the higher you are, the closer you are to Hashem, the more Hashem expects of you, and the more you're held to a higher standard, and you're accountable for your actions in a different way. Let me show you that Ravana. It's a very interesting take. This is, I think, going to intrigue you as well. That seems to be the word of the day. This whole parsha is intriguing. Ravana, source number 12. Vidati, so he first goes on to bring like 10 different opinions. He quotes Rashi, the Rambam, and the Ramban, about what Moshe did wrong. Because again, from the text itself, it's not entirely clear. What did Moshe do? He gets such a serious response, serious punishment. So look at that, Rav Benel, Vedati Bazeh, Shemoshe V'Aaron, Shnehem Ne'anshu, Ba'avur Avonos She'asu. They are punished for sins they had previously done. Im Aaron Ve'Avon Ha'Egel. Ladies, this is unbelievable. Aaron is punished not because of his role over here, by Mei Meriva. Aaron is punished really because of what he did by the Chet Ha'Egel. And without looking further, what did Moshe do wrong? His role with the spies. Moshe Adonenu Inyan Hamaraglin. And Moshe is punished for what he did wrong with the spies. Lo Shahaya Aaron Me'ovde Egel. It's not that Aaron was someone who actually worshipped Avodah Zarah at the time of the Egel. But Lo Shahaya Moshe Midor Hamiraglim Chalila HaMeirasha. And it's not that Moshe believed in the slanderous reports of the spies. God forbid. Aval Aaron Kemoshe Yisvar B'Makomo Shelo B'Kavana Ra'a Asa Es HaEgel. Aaron made a mistake. And he had good intentions, but ultimately he was the cause for the sin of the golden calf. V'im heyos kavanaso la'akev es ha'am ulani gam b'nachas ad bo Moshe. And even if Aaron's intentions were good ones, to postpone, let's delay, let's wait, we'll make an egel tomorrow, hinei nimshach menu mash nimshach. But the bottom line is, a debacle happened because of what Aaron decided to do. V'lefi she'ha'am lakhu miyad Hashem kichol chatasa mehem meisu b'magifa u'mehem ayedei cherev v'lo bo'u el ha'aretz asher amar Hashem. Bottom line is that all those who were involved in the Egel died, didn't make it into the land of Israel. Some through a plague, and some through the sword. So since Aaron caused everyone else to die in the desert and not to enter the land, so God thought it was just. God thought it was the appropriate thing for Aaron also to die in the desert and not to enter the land. However, Aaron was not one of the ones who worshipped the calf. Kasher ha-nashim ha-posha'im, just like other ones who were more negligent. Lo ne'enashimahem be'arich apo'alav. God did not punish Aaron with them, and God waited for something to happen later. V'nichla b'masha amar l'moshe, he was included with what God said to Moshe. V'ata l'cha nachet ha'am goet l'cha nachet ha'am lich nachet ha'am goet lead the nation. U'vayom pakadati u'fakadati. But on the day that I remember the sin, I will remember. Meaning, Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, let's move on, but I have not fully let go. And included in that was the concept, the idea, that Aaron would be judged for this, but later on. Later on in Shemos, when the Torah records how the people died from the plague, what does the Torah say? It's the Egel Asher Asa Aharon. Kolomar, ve'amnam Aaron anshu shamor l'shaita. Aaron is responsible for this egel. His punishment will be guarded till later. But he will be accountable for what he did. So says the Abravanel, Aaron really died because of his role with the egel. Next, let's look at Moshe and take comments.
The Amnam. Okay. Sorry. That actually makes a lot more sense. And yeah. Many people have discussed this. That to me, does it make sense that he hit the rock?
Right. Exactly. So Hashem was really just looking for a slight misstep. And then God kind of pounces, if you will, on Aaron, holding him accountable for what he did many decades earlier. The Amnam. Chet Moshe. Haya ki kasher shalu Yisroel lishloach meraglim lo shalu ela vayeshibu osinu davar es haderech asher na'leba ve'es he'arim asher navo aleihem. When the Jewish people come to Moshe and ask for this scouting mission, they have a very simple request. Let us send people forward who will tell us which path to take and which cities to conquer first. V'Hashem Yisbarach kishetziva shlichusam lo amar ela v'yisuras eretz kenan asher ninosein. All Hashem said is, you want to send them? Fine, let them go on a general scouting mission. V'hine Moshe Adonenu hosef mi'atzmo b'shlichus ma'ashe yisroel lo sha'olu aleihem. Moshe, however, tacks on additional components to this mission that the Jewish people did not ask for and that God did not command. Moshe said, go look at the nation. Are they strong or are they weak? Those cities, are they well fortified or are they weak? Those extra questions that Moshe asked them to go find out answers to. Ein safek shehayu l'kavana tova. Of course Moshe's intentions were for the good. That they should get a better picture. They should be even more excited about their journey forward. L'shiyidu'u Yisrael ki asa'am ve'arim gedolos v'tzros mishamayim. Kidei sheyakiru v'yidu ki higdil Hashem la'aslos yimayim chesed. Lo risham mipneyam. Moshe wanted the people, the scouts, to come back saying, this land is well fortified. The people are strong, but we've got Hashem on our side. That's what Moshe wanted. That would only reinforce their emunah. So Moshe certainly had good intentions. V'kimoshe amar b'moshe b'mishnah Torah. As Moshe himself tells this generation, the generation that will enter the land of Israel. Shema Yisrael, ata over hayom es hayardin lavo l'reshes goyim gedolim v'atzumim mcha. You're going to encounter a nation, that nations that are much stronger than you. Arim gedolot u'bitzarot b'shamayim. Am gadol v'ram b'nei anakim. Moshe scares the wits out of Am Yisrael in Sefer Devarim. Because Moshe is doing so for them to appreciate Hashem's role. We are nothing. We can't do this if not for God. So Moshe was thinking, let me tell the scouts to look out for this stuff. They'll come back and we'll increase our emunah. Just skipping to the bolder words. Aval nimshach mizeh mashe nimshach. But what happened is what happened. Shebetshubos hasheilos ha'elu amru hameraglim az ha'am ve'arim betsuros ba'ofen v'yamusu kumam amidbar. And they basically came back and they reported the facts, but didn't have the confidence, didn't have the emunah, and of course all the terrible things resulted from that. The Lefi, Shemoshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, Hayasiba Lemikra Kazeh. Moshe caused this. He went above and beyond what the people asked for. He went above and beyond what God asked for. Lachain Haya Mehatzedek HaEloki, Shegam Hu, Shesivim Sheyamusu Hador Bamidbar, Velo Yichnesu, Lo Yavo Shama. Because Moshe caused everyone else to die in the desert, he too had to die in the desert. And then Rav Bunel goes on, and we'll have to stop over here to tell us that what happened at Mei Meriba was just a small infraction. Hashem intended them to speak, and they hit. Okay, fine. That by itself does not cause a tzaddik like Moshe and like Aaron to die in the desert, not enter the promised land. But all God was looking for was like a little hook. He just needed a little hook to hang Moshe and Aaron on for really what they did many decades earlier. Hashem had respect for Moshe and Aaron, so Moshe wasn't punished with the generation that died in the desert. And Aaron wasn't punished with the people who sinned at Chet Egel. But they were responsible for it. And the best of intentions, ultimately, we say that good intentions pave the road to hell. So in this sense, Moshe and Aaron were the leaders, were the orchestrators, with the best of intentions, are ultimately held accountable for what went wrong. So the Bravanel says, I'll take your question, the Bravanel says that what happens here is something extremely minor. Hashem says talk, they hit, no big deal, but it was something enough for now Hashem to go ahead with his plan, which he intended many decades earlier, that Aaron and Moshe would not be entering the land of Israel. So I thought this was really a very interesting approach of the Bravanel. We had more time, he fleshes it out even more, he shows you how it's well substantiated in the psukim, the language that Hashem uses, but we'll have to stop here, and at least you have three or four different perspectives. Rashi, Rambam, Ramban himself, and now they have Rambanel. What exactly did Moshe and Aaron do wrong? So Baruch Hashem, we have a good idea what the people did wrong in the beginning of this parak by not comforting, by quarreling too quickly with Moshe, and now we have a better sense of what Moshe and Aaron did wrong, or maybe they did nothing wrong really, and why they were given this harsh sentence not to enter the land of Israel.